Several years ago, when the Rose Bowl Parade, a float stalled right there in the middle of the street. People were getting very upset because the other floats could not move. And so mechanics came and descended upon this stalled float, trying to determine what was wrong with it. Finally, someone had the presence of mind to check on the fuel level of the vehicle. It was out of gas. This became even more embarrassing when they found out that the float sponsor was one of the major oil companies. Did you know that Christians can also run out of gas? I think it happens all the time. But we have a source that is available. That source is the Holy Spirit. Pastor Chuck Swindoll wrote the following: what fuel is to a car, the Holy Spirit is to a believer. In short, he is our spiritual fuel. And that's what we're celebrating today. Today is Pentecost Sunday. It is one of the major celebrations of the entire church year. Today is the birthday of the church. 2,000 years ago, Pentecost was also a major celebration. However, it was different. Back then, Pentecost was the 50th day after after they celebrated the Passover. Pentecost celebrated the first fruits of the wheat harvest. And so Pentecost would begin at daybreak with the blowing of the ram's horn. And then a priest would stand on top of the city walls, waving a loaf of bread in each of his hands. St. Luke also tells us about this story. And his story starts with 120 people that are inside this open room. This would include those 12 disciples. And suddenly there was this massive sound out of heaven. Without warning, with no storm clouds, there's no prior announcement. The sound was probably like a roar that was deafening to all these people. It is obvious, at least to me, that Luke cannot find adequate words to describe this event. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. It was an electrifying, life-transforming experience that they would talk about for the rest of their lives. Winds can be terrifying. Have any of you ever been in a hurricane or seen a tornado? In May of 1997, a powerful tornado swept through parts of Texas. Some of you may even remember this. Shoppers at the Albertsons supermarket were in a state of panic. Suddenly, a commanding voice came over the intercom, the voice of Larry Fohr, who was Albertsons' manager at the time. And this is what he said: do not leave this store or you will die. Your only chance of survival is to do exactly what I tell you right now. Larry then directed his shoppers to enter a totally enclosed cooler. Just as the last person entered this cooler and they closed that metal door, the entire store roof caved in on top of them. Because they were inside this enclosed cooler, all the shoppers survived that tornado without incident. Why did Larry Fohr speak to the shoppers with such authority? Because 18 years before this, Larry had survived an even more devastating tornado, and he knew how to bring others to safety. Yes, winds can be terrifying, but think about this, they are also invisible. Air cannot be seen, but it's all around you, isn't it? It can be a force with incredible strength. It can snap a tree in two. It can demolish a building in seconds flat. Energized by a hurricane or a tornado, it can wipe out an entire neighborhood within a matter of minutes. You can't feel it, you can't see it, you can't smell it, you can't weigh it, but it keeps us alive every single minute of every day. If you take air away from us, at best you'll be brain damaged. At worst, you're going to be dead. We can't live without it, but still we think nothing of it. On a ship, it's not the sails that move that ship, it's the unseen wind that pushes those sails. If you look at old maps of the oceans, you will see great areas marked doldrums. This is an area of the prevailing oceanic winds. It is the area where the air is very warm, still, and humid. In the old days, sea captains learned to stay away from these doldrums. And now and then, a careless captain would drive into a doldrum. And when that happened, this ship was in serious trouble. Its sails would sag and droop. The whole ship would take on the appearance of fatigue. The interior of the ship would become like a smelly dungeon. Sailors got to be really sick. Some of them actually died in those doldrums. We certainly have not died. However, are you in a spiritual doldrum? If you are, I know how that feels. I have been there numerous, numerous times in my life. For a while, I was the poster boy for doldrum life. Every once in a while, I would feel those light, baffling winds. It was the Holy Spirit trying to move me. The winds of the Almighty were trying to move me out of the doldrums and into a better spiritual place. And I am sure that something like that has happened to you too. You find yourself trapped in this stagnant air, and then a strong spiritual breeze, it moves you. Now, can you resist that wind? And the answer is yes! God gives you the ability to resist the Holy Spirit. But there are also times where that wind turns into a tempest, and it appears that it's going to just knock us down. We are exhausted, and we finally give in. All right, Lord, let's try it your way, okay? I don't know where this wind is blowing, but I finally put my trust in you. And I believe that's what's happening with some of you right now, as I speak. It may start with the Spirit very gently blowing in your ear, whispering very positive thoughts, encouraging you, inspiring you, emboldening. But there's a price tag for this action, and we have to learn to trust that Holy Spirit. To let the Holy Spirit take control means that we need to let the Spirit blow away the cobwebs of our selfishness. The Bible tells us that the Spirit blows where it wills. In the Greek, the words for wind and spirit are the same word for breath. And we remember back to the creation story. God not only breathed air into Adam, but also his own spirit. And Adam became a living soul. It's not the air that makes us unique among living creatures. It is the fact that we have God's spirit inside of us. Jesus promised his disciples before he left that the Holy Spirit would come upon them. In essence, he was saying, I will give you the very breath of my life. On Pentecost, God breathed new life into his disciples. That upper room experience described in Acts 2, it was God's CPR for a dispirited follower. When you and I were born, the doctor slapped us on our little behinds and we started breathing. That was physical air. But Jesus promised us a greater gift than just physical air. He promised that the Holy Spirit would give us a new life. That Holy Spirit also convicts us of our guilt. And that's important, because if we have no guilt, why do we need God? Think about that. There's an old rural saying that goes like this: you can't get the water cleared up until you get the hogs out of the creek. And we first have to admit that we are guilty before God, and therefore we need to clean up and repent. Has that happened to you? Where you all of a sudden have this surge of guilt, and you're actually looking forward to coming to church? You are anticipating confession. And so there you are. You're driving to church. However, you maybe have some kind of argument in the car. or something terrible happened just the night before, and so you are not in a real positive, worshipful mood. But then you hear something during worship that totally changes it. It convicts you. And that is the wind of the Holy Spirit. In the Bible, the Greek word for Holy Spirit is paraclete. Most people don't know what a paraclete is. There's no good translation between the Greek word paraclete and an English word. The best words are comforter, helper, or counselor. And the Greek word for spirit means all those things. The Holy Spirit is God in the present. Through the Holy Spirit, God is able to be in millions of places simultaneously, comforting, helping, and counseling. Jesus says these words from our gospel reading, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth." Sometimes in your lives, you need someone just to talk it out. Sometimes in your lives, you need someone who's just going to listen. Sometimes in your lives, you need to have someone who's just going to accept you just as you are. You need a counselor, someone to hold your hand during those storms of your life. A noted religious author, David Siemens, tells a story about he was having open heart surgery, and he wrote the following. "Just before the surgery, my nurse entered my room. She takes my hand and she says to me, 'Will you squeeze it? In the next few hours, we are going to stop your heart and then we are going to repair it. After surgery, you're going to be immobile for about 6 hours and you won't be able to move or speak or even open your eyes, even though you will be able to hear what is going on. During that time, I want you to know that I'll be right here at your side. I will hold your hand exactly as I am doing right now. When you feel my hand, know that I will not leave you. If you need anything, just squeeze my hand because I'm going to be holding it.'" David explained later, "She did hold my hand the entire time. And it was a tremendous comfort to me." The Holy Spirit is that kind of comforter. The Holy Spirit is God in the present. And that is the nature of the Spirit. He is our counselor during those trying times where we are being blown away in the storm of our lives. But he is also there during those mundane times where there is very little wind at all. So, where are you? Where are you? Are you in the middle of those doldrums where nothing really is happening? Or is a gentle breeze starting to blow in the crux of your life? The Spirit is working on you, and you can feel that breeze starting to move you into a place that could be absolutely wonderful. Or are you that float in the Rose Bowl parade? You are stalled right there in the middle of the street. And people are working on you, trying to determine what is wrong. And then someone says, "I know what's wrong. It's out of gas." These are the times when you need to ask for help from the counselor. What fuel is to a car, the Holy Spirit is to you. And whether you are in the doldrums of your life, or if you are in a raging storm and typhoon, this is God in the present tense. He is there holding your hand the entire time, and he will never leave you. Amen.